The Great Foreign Currency Shift of 2015.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The European single currency is down sharply today. Just over $1.20 will buy a euro. Market players are figuring interest rates in Europe will stay lower longer, following hints from the head of the European Central Bank today about the possibility of new stimulus. On Fridays, we consult Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It was suggested to me today that sometime this year, in 2015, we could see the euro and the dollar at parity. A dollar would buy a euro. Is that crazy?
It is crazy, and it's also entirely possible. We had a 20% move in the dollar against the euro in 2014. Why not 2015? Interest rates are expected to remain crazy low in Europe for a long time. They're expected to rise here. And what that does is it attracts capital out of Europe into the U.S. In other words, people sell euros and buy dollars.
So U.S. goods would get more expensive to sell overseas. That might hurt U.S. factory workers. Foreign profits, if you sold something in Europe, won't turn into as many U.S. dollars when you bring the money back to the U.S. But I suppose if you're thinking about a vacation to Europe, right?
Well, no, that's exactly right. It's the best time for a vacation in Europe since the mid-80s. So it has been a pretty sharp reversal. As far as the U.S. economy goes, you're right, it hurts U.S. manufacturing. But remember, we are primarily a consumer economy. When the dollar's strong, it means foreign goods are cheaper and consumers benefit. So it's not necessarily all bad for us either.
Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
When the movie Selma goes into wide release next Friday, the speeches given by the actor playing Martin Luther King in the film will not be historically accurate. The studio did not have the rights to use Dr. King's actual words because of rights issues. Those rights had already been sold to a rival film studio, DreamWorks, and a deal's a deal. The King estate is known for keeping tight control over Dr. King's intellectual property, but when it comes to the online world, that's not always easy. Marketplace's David Weinberg wanted to know more about an oddly incongruous ad that popped up when he tried to watch one of Dr. King's most famous speeches online.
Given the tight control over Dr. King's intellectual property, I was surprised to find the I Have a Dream speech in its entirety on YouTube. But when I pressed play, a white guy ate a tortilla chip and then took off his clothes to reveal a sumo wrestling loincloth. It's a Doritos commercial. Ads are common on YouTube. But what did surprise me was who posted the video, a user named SullenToys.com, a website run by a guy who collects dolls, zombie dolls. I asked copyright expert Jennifer Jenkins to help me understand why the King Estate allowed a guy who collects zombie dolls to show ads on a video he doesn't own.
Probably when you see an ad like this, what's happening is it's YouTube's content ID system.
Under that system, the holder of copyright can block an unauthorized video, or it can collect all the ad revenue, which apparently is the option chosen by the King Estate and Sony, which co-owns the rights to the I Have a Dream speech. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
We are so predictable sometimes. What am I doing now that it's the new year? Using a nifty app to count calories. Others are hitting the gym for the first time since the Great Flood. You know why you don't go to the gym enough? Quasi-hyperbolic discounting. Annie Baxter explains.
Every new year, Janelle Farrell vows to attack the same two goals.
It's always fitness, and then the other thing is to chew my food slower.
The local YWCA probably won't help her chew her food, but Farrell hopes it will help her get buff. Farrell recently stopped by the Y in St. Paul, Minnesota to learn about memberships.
Oh, yeah.
And test out the leg press.
Yeah, I need to be lifting weights.
Farrell also takes yoga and kickboxing classes at a couple other places. But she says this is Minnesota. It's really cold in the winter. She sometimes has a hard time getting out of the house to do anything.
Those are bad weeks. I don't feel good.
For many of us, those bad weeks last for months. To explain why we struggle to get ourselves to the gym, economists tend to throw around some fancy terms like present bias or
quasi-hyperbolic discounting, sometimes also known as the beta-delta model.
Dan Ackland is a behavioral economist at the University of California, Berkeley. He says those complicated terms come down to this. When we consider whether to hit the gym, the payoff might seem too remote. Instead, we focus on the immediate barriers.
The cost of getting out of bed, the cost of taking the time to drive to the gym and so forth, weighs more heavily than the long-term health benefits.
Ackland says when people sign up for a gym, they're often overly optimistic that all those barriers will magically disappear.
So we say that they are naive with respect to their future self-control problems.
The result is that about half the people with health club memberships are no-shows. That's according to Justin Sidnor, an economist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He says a lot of people think that the money they spend on gym memberships will push them to exercise more. But Sidnor says the gym might be part of the problem.
Is the gym the easiest place? Is it the place that you're not going to struggle as much on a daily basis to go to?
Sidnor says the important thing for New Year's fitness resolutions is to avoid setting lofty goals that will be really hard to meet. Start with something simple, he says, even if that's just taking a walk. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
And Macau, just across from Hong Kong, is the spot for gambling in Asia. But there's news today that gambling revenue there dropped by nearly a third over the last year. The reasons why tell us a lot about the world's biggest economy. Joining us from Hong Kong is business reporter Andrew Wood. Mr. Wood, good morning.
Hello.
Give me a sense of why some of the high rollers are no longer flocking to Macau to do their gambling.
Well, it's all to do with a phrase that was made popular by the president of China, Xi Jinping. He talked about this year about hunting tigers and catching flies, which is a metaphorical way of saying basically that he was going to root out corruption. And so as a result, a lot of the type of people who have lots of money to spend gambling have not been going to Macau, partly because they don't really want to demonstrate how rich they might seem, as it might attract attention to them.
This is a time when the explosive growth that China had seen has been tamped down somewhat. And it might just be that some potential gamblers don't have as much wherewithal.
No, they don't. Actually, Macau actually is always a bit of a strange place anyway, as far as the business of gambling goes, because it only takes a sort of small change in the visa regulations or something so that people can go from China to Macau. A few years back, they were restricted, say, they could go every weekend, and it was restricted back to saying only one weekend a month. And that can totally change the fortunes of Macau. It's not just about how the economy on the mainland is faring, but also about how the bureaucrats and the politicians in Beijing feel about the place.
Andrew Wood is a business reporter. He's based in Hong Kong. Mr. Wood, thank you for this.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.